Are you embarrassed to be a Christian? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Jonathan Burgess, who was a Christian as a young man and was embarrassed his dad was a preacher.
I can understand it. I think if you grow up in that setting and probably social or peer pressure for a young guy, if they're making fun of him, that could be hard.
I think it can be embarrassing for someone to share that they have faith, or they have faith in Jesus, because they can feel, I mean, what is embarrassment really? Embarrassment is where you have this fear of being shamed, or, you know, it's almost a fear of rejection is what people are feeling. So when it comes down to it, I know I had a lot of these fears. Actually, I was afraid of being embarrassed all the time.
Really?
I was afraid of being rejected. I lived my whole life for social approval. And so being in embarrassing moments, I was definitely embarrassed. And when I was an atheist and then I became a Christian, that was interesting. I didn't just go out and be like, hey, everybody, I'm a Christian now. You know, I didn't go up to my friends and just tell them because of fear of embarrassment. And so for a short time of my life, I was embarrassed.
That's interesting. I know for me, I always believed that there was a God, but when I became a Christian and I started really seeking him and living my life the way that God would want me to, and things were being purged or taken out of my life that shouldn't have been there, I started hanging around the people that were my friends or family, and I sensed there was a lot of rejection in my life. They didn't like it. They felt like I was judging them and that I changed, and a lot of people just didn't like that I wasn't who I used to be, because
that's the kind of rejection I
changed.
Used to be afraid of.
Interesting. And it was hard. It is hard to have that happen. For me, it was very difficult to have it happen.
Yeah. But you know, when you look at, as I grew up, which is amazing that you were able to endure that right on. For me, I had to really look at a verse. This is in Luke 9, chapter 26. It says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." And I'm just kind of like, wow, you know, if we're embarrassed or ashamed about God, it's almost like when you love someone, you shouldn't feel shame about being in love. Like, it's kind of like, you know, when you love somebody, but then you don't want to introduce them to your friends. Like, that's not love. And I think that's what God is saying. Like, we shouldn't be embarrassed that we're Christians, because if we're in love with God, that's okay. Don't be embarrassed. There's no shame with love. Actually, love does the opposite. Love drives out the fear of rejection.
Right.
If God accepts you, who cares if your friends accept
you?
And that's what happened to me.
And you know, it reminds me of kids when they go through that stage of embarrassment, like they don't want to be hugged by their mom, or not all kids go through that, but people do. But imagine, you know, that's painful.
It is.
For the parent.
Yeah.
And I think that God, it's more of a painful thing because he loves us so much. It's like, that breaks his heart more than anything. And you know what I love is Paul writes in Romans 1:16 that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Wow.
And that's for the Jews, the Gentiles, people who didn't even know God, people like us. There's power in the gospel. There's power in knowing Jesus. And we have the ability to share that love with people so they can get freedom.
You know, so we shouldn't be ashamed of good things. We should be ashamed maybe of bad things, but when it comes to good things like being a Christian, don't be ashamed.
Amen. God loves you so much. And if you're listening to this, he's speaking right to your heart. Let's hear from Jonathan Burgess after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week with the help of Card Connect Merchant Services and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. If your business spends too much on credit card processing fees, call and get a quote from Card Connect Merchant Services. Card Connect offers low rates with world-class customer service and is ready to help you save money. Just call Stephen Walker at 601-212-6788. That's Stephen Walker at Card Connect Merchant Services, 601-212-6788.
We We're excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Jonathan Burgess, and he was raised in the church and became a Christian at a young age, and he's going to share with us the things that kept him close to God. Mm. And so let's hear right now from Jonathan. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, the things that kept me close to God, I think, was having parents that demonstrated the love of Christ. I'm the youngest of three. And like you already mentioned, my father is a pastor, but before that, he was actually a missionary. Mm. And something kind of unique about our family, my father's actually South African.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah. And so part of what I'm doing now is missions. And it's ironic because it was actually missionaries from the USA and New Zealand who came to Durban, South Africa, where my dad was, and invited him out to a youth group. I actually invited him to a party, and he got there and he realized it's not a party, it's like a youth group. But it wasn't too long after that that he gave his life to Jesus.
Wow.
And, you know, then later, you know, he kept that relationship with Jesus alive, and he ended up coming all the way over to America to go to Bible school.
Mm.
And that's where he met my mom. And so I'm kind of half South African, half American. But as a small boy, we ended up going back to South Africa because then they went into missions. So I was not only a preacher's kid, I was kind of a missionary kid as well.
Oh.
My dad was gone a lot because he was itinerating and trying to raise support for being in missions. But all I remember is when I was young, there was a huge political event going on one night. And I remember it because I remember it being on the TV. And later on that evening, I just remember being upstairs on my bed and just kind of crying out. And my parents came up and asked, what's wrong, you know? And at that moment, I just said, hey, I just feel sorry for Jesus. And they're like, why? Like, well, I feel sorry that Jesus had to die for me because I realized even at a young age that it was because of my sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the moment where I actually asked Christ into my life. That was a moment where I think it was real. And that's when, you know, I could even tell from that young age, as I started going to school and as I started interacting with a lot of kids who weren't from the same background, that I was different. I knew that something had taken place in my life. And then, of course, because it's school and it's temptation, everything was kind of there. And unfortunately, there was a lot of opportunities for bad decisions at a really young age. And unfortunately, I didn't really have the conviction not to do some of those bad things early.
Yeah.
But then about 13 or 14 years of age, I had a really tragic event that happened to some people really close to me. It was an eye-opener. And in that moment, you know, we've all had people who've influenced our lives. I had a teacher in my life, and he kind of took me under his wing and just showed me what it was like to live a radical, on-fire life for Jesus.
Right.
But it was because of him. It was because of my father as well, who did take me on other missionary trips. And maybe a few other things that, like, around 13, 14, after that tragic moment, that like my life was radically turned around for Jesus.
So was it hard? You mentioned, you know, as a young guy, how you would kind of get involved with some of the stuff that other people were, temptations and whatnot, up until you were 13 and that tragedy happened, but you really found the hand of God. But was it really hard being a pastor's kid / you know, a ministry? What were some of the things that you dealt with that maybe other people don't even think about being a pastor's kid that you went through?
Yeah, I think when you have this relationship with Jesus, that's kind of like the card that's more important than anything. So had I had the spiritual maturity to know that or to live that out, I don't think it would have mattered. But at that young age, just having that extra thing to be bullied about or that extra thing to be made fun of for, that was a challenge. So I might be at a big public junior high school, and for whatever reason on the day, the English teacher singles me out and just says, hey, what does your dad do? And then I just feel this overwhelming, like, embarrassment of, like, everyone's going to know. And one of my friends has yelled out, his dad's a priest, you know? And I remember feeling challenged because I hadn't let my relationship with Christ kind of take the front seat. I was still worried about what people were thinking. And I guess it's normal for people at that age, but that was a challenge I had then.
Wow. And I think a lot of kids go through that feeling of trying to be accepted and knowing that. When did you finally figure out that acceptance from God and not from people? Because people listening even now might say, well, I just want to be accepted by people. And if I let them know, you know, about my parent, let's say they're a pastor or that my family is Christian, they're going to oust me. They're not going to want me around or I'll be embarrassed. What helped you to get comfortable with yourself?
I think just having a few people that I looked up to in my life, they kind of had everything that the world had to offer them, maybe away from God. And then just seeing where that led versus an influence or two in my life saying, look, like you can avoid some of these hardships by choosing to live your life for Christ. And then I think it was just the grace of God, like to give me wisdom to see that like you can learn from the mistakes of others. You don't have to have that be your story. I had seen what the world had to offer. I had seen what maybe popularity and everything that a kid in junior high or high school would want. But then I saw how that kind of turned out tragically. And it doesn't always, but it did in my life to people close to me. And so God just kind of, at a bird's eye view, gave me this wisdom to say, you know, I think I'm just going to like choose to live for him. Not so I don't get hurt or not so I don't, you know, have some bad consequence. I don't think it was that. It was recognizing it's amazing to live for God. It's fulfilling to live for God. That is what's actually cool. That is what's actually stepping into why I exist to begin with. And so it just took me over the line, you know, and I'm just so grateful for that.
Wow. Well, there are people listening now and they want to know who Jesus is. And we're going to pray for them, Jonathan. And we want that same thing for them, that they step over that line and say, you know what? I don't want to be like everybody else out partying, doing drugs, hooking up with people. I want to stand out. I want to be different and I want to live for the Lord. And we're going to pray and encourage those people right now. And we thank God that he kept you from all that stuff. And I'm sure you had parents that prayed for you all the time too. So
anyway,
yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your life with us and what God has done and how he's kept you. And we're going to pray for our guests. Thanks for being with us.
Father God, we just thank you so much for this story, which I think it's really good, and I think it really connects with people as you're listening. You know, I think there's somebody who is maybe growing up as a Christian now and feels like they need to hide it. And I think that is a huge temptation for everyone, whether it's work, whether it's school, or in front of other people. We feel like, oh no, is this a part that I need to be ashamed of or something to be proud of? And what's amazing is Jonathan found out later in his life that Jesus is something exciting. He's someone to be proud of. And I'm sensing someone is listening right now and saying, you know, I want to live that way. I want to shed away the shame and I want to be proud of Jesus and be excited to live that exciting Christian life, because the Christian life is not boring. That is the biggest lie in the world, that it is boring. Actually, the Christian life is full of purpose, meaning, and God has a meaning for you. So Father, I'm praying right now that you begin to reveal to our listeners the meaning and the purpose of their lives. So they truly, Lord God, come into the full function of their potential. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And what's so great is that Jonathan is now leading this group, Transform DJs, and he's living out his passion. And so you can do that as a Christian. It's not a boring life. If you need prayer, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Our number is 877-480-4477. Thank you so much for listening to Real Life. God bless.